Right now, we are going to bring in Dr. Judy Werkman. It is time for Food for a Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, on the web. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Dr. Judy Werkman. Good morning, Judy.
Oh, good morning to you. And I did enjoy your bear story. It's something that I don't see walking down the streets of Miami Beach too often. Other strange things, but not bears.
Any good outfits?
Anyway, Jill, I sent you an article today that really has very sort of personal relevance to me, because as you know, I had an issue in my own family where I had to become a caretaker for a while. But it occurred to me that there are people, many times they're relatives of ours, who take on, sometimes almost unconsciously, and sometimes the role is thrust on them, of being sort of the person who fixes things in the family. You know, if something needs to be done, be it, let's say, a college application that hasn't been sent in correctly by your teenager, an elderly parent who has to be taken to driven to doctor's appointments, maybe an adult child who becomes overwhelmed by his or her responsibilities and doesn't make space in the life, you know, to take the dog to the vet or pick up the kids at the proper time at the daycare center. Well, we'll just call X, usually mom, maybe dad, maybe an aunt, maybe, you know, a nearby relative, and that person says, okay, I'll take care of it. And many times, this is done willingly, people, are grateful for the chance to be of help, but sometimes, the burden really becomes excessive, especially after a while, when it just becomes expected that the so-called fixer, and that's really the name for it, the so-called fixer will always be there to take care of whatever problems there is. I remember years ago I had a weight loss client who had gained a great deal of weight because she was a designated fixer in her family, and her job was to find nursing home, an old age home, or whatever you call them, for her elderly parent. She had, I think, three siblings, but they all said, well, we don't have time. You're not married. You don't have a family. You live close by. You, work for a company that allow you to take some time off. You take care of it. And she was extraordinarily frustrated because she got no help from any of her siblings. All she heard was complaints from her elderly parent. And, and she took it out on herself by eating her way through the stress. And sometimes, the role of a fixer becomes sort of merged into the role of a caretaker in that, okay, you're not only taking care of mom, but you're going to, visit her every day in the nursing home or else she's going to live with you, and you're going to take care of her every need, and we just assume you're going to do this. And this time, of course, as we're emerging from the pandemic, becomes even more apparent that people who have taken on the roles of a caretaker or a fixer have been isolated along with the people that they are taking care of, and so the stress may even have been greater than it would under normal circumstances. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is that oftentimes we who depend on the fixer don't even realize what we are doing. I mean, I have a friend whose adult daughter calls her constantly over trivia, and her adult daughter is not young, because mom will tell me what to do. Mom will take care of this. Mom will make the phone call. Mom will send the check. The relationship is so ingrained that it's almost impossible to stop it. And I really wonder if many of us who are in the position of being a fixer don't even realize, what we're doing. I have another friend who said, I'm sure that as they're laying me out to rest after I have passed from this world, one of my relatives will come and drop a to-do list on the coffin. Well, because mom will take care of it in the next world.
I know, and it's a really tricky thing because some of the assumptions, I know someone actually much younger who is the family fixer. But some of the reasons are really require the people who are in need of the fixing to buck up just a bit. It's like, well, you don't have the assumption that you don't have anything to do because you're not XYZ. And
exactly.
That is so distorted sometimes, and that becomes such an excuse and such a crutch. And I'm thinking of a new business where I could go and sort of separate these. Like, I would like to be deputed to be the person that says, no, you do that yourself. No, this you can get some help on. Now, it happens I'm one of those people that, ends up sometimes fixing, sometimes not, but more often than not, fixing.
Yeah, there's even a sort of a sidebar to all this, because sometimes you think, because you are fixing things or because you have support organizations that help you fixing. So I'm thinking of something like the Alzheimer's, association with all these support groups. And you learn that your spouse or your relative, mom, dad, has this terrible debilitating disease that is going to, erase any kind of independence that the patient has. Well, you do this. You put up a list. You put up a calendar. You put notes all over in the bathroom. Don't forget to brush your teeth and put back the toothpaste. You've put up reminders, and every time there is a deterioration in ability, there is a fix. This is how you compensate. And so you might think superficially that, if I just do all of these things, things will be taken care of. It's like taking your car, and I'll fix this and I'll fix that. And what they tell you, but they don't really tell you, is that, there's going to come a time when you can't fix anything, where it's just going to race ahead of you. And, I think of this, this book that I wrote, Before Her Voice Was Still, when a very, very dear friend who had ALS, over a period of 3.5-4 years, deteriorated to the point where she could literally do nothing, because that's the nature of the disease. But every time she lost some ability to move, use some body part, there was a, quote, fix. There was a sling that her husband used to put her in to move from one room to another. There was eventually an electric wheelchair. There was special amplifier for her phone when her voice was too weak. She had, an oxygen mask that she could wear, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, it didn't work anymore. And I think you get sort of lulled into thinking, wow, I can fix this. And at some point, you just can't. And that's almost like a slap in the face, like, I failed. But you didn't fail. It's just that you did what you could do, and then you couldn't.
I know, and it turns inwards, and it ends up being as, in a funny way, debilitating for the person who's helping as it is for the person who needs help. But I will say this, recognizing it, just understanding that it happens, and if you are a person who kind of relies on someone, to just take a step back and see if you're asking them to go fetch something that you could.
Yes.
And for the person who's doing it, make sure that you've got some, again, legitimate boundaries. And I'm not talking about when something goes terribly wrong, like, hi, I'm stuck by the side of the road, my tire's blown, and, and the dog is bleeding.
But it's just like, can you go pick up,
Yes, can you go get me? Exactly.
Or whatever. No, I make some other arrangements. I'm sure you can, or just rearrange your schedules so that you can do it. No, it's true. There has to be common sense.
Yeah, and just a little bit of understanding that it's at the root of it in some cases, and the bits that I object to is the assumption that, but a lot of people are doing this right now. What they are doing, like, they are so busy, and what they are doing is so important. That everybody else is.
Exactly.
And that's actually where it gets a little bit twisted. And Marshall is now at this point, because he is more important than me, saying it is time.
All right. Jill, I loved our discussion here. I hope other people have benefited from it, too. Thanks a lot. Stay away from the bears.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wertman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning right before this weekend, the Lakeville Journal, also on the web at, of course, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wertman.